So about 2 months ago, maybe it was three, I've lost time. Time goes really fast in this decade, I have to say. I was at the Regina Public Library for the filming of The Great Green Wall, and afterwards there was a panel of very articulate and passionate people. And I talked to one of them afterwards, Sophia Young, and she agreed to come and share with you. Sophia is a grade 12 student who's passionate about climate action. As an activist with the David Suzuki Foundation and a 2022 YWCA Young Woman of Distinction finalist, Sophia has contributed to the development of the City of Regina's energy and sustainability framework, which is the city's plan to reach near net zero emissions by 2050. Besides environmental activism, Sophia enjoys art, skiing, and volunteering with the Regina Open Door Society and a foundation called Worthy Purpose. Together, she believes that we can build a better city and planet for all. And I just need to add to that that I'm just really blessed to have found this new friend. Sophia and her group at Miller also have a community garden there, and they grow all kinds of things. She'll probably tell you a little bit about that. But they also grow grapes. And this morning she brought me a jar of grape jam. So I'm thrilled to introduce my new friend Sophia to you.
Thank you for the introduction. That's very true. And fun fact, yesterday I was the winner of the Young Women of Distinction Award for the YWCA. Yeah, happened yesterday. Wasn't expecting it. I was so surprised. I was just like, a really big piece. But yeah, I am here to talk about how you can make change, because I'm a youth. I'm with a group called Better Bus Youth. Ooh, and I'm going to turn off the sound on my laptop so it's not talking back to me. But yeah, it's a way that everyone can make a change. It's just a matter of getting into it. But first, I thought maybe you should know a little bit more about me and who I am. So I am Chinese and Colombian. So I have a very diverse cultural background. My mom came from China, my dad from Colombia, and here I am. I've loved being part of this community because of how many opportunities there are and that there's this really strong sense of solidarity in Saskatchewan, except it comes with its fair share of challenges. And some of my challenges were financial challenges and transportational challenges. When I was younger, my dad faced an injury, a terrible injury that left him temporarily paralyzed from the back down. And it was very hard on my family. My mom suddenly became the sole breadwinner, caregiver, and able-bodied person and parent to take care of me. And that meant a lot of sacrifices. It meant that I couldn't do a lot of extracurricular activities because there was no one to bring me there. It was very difficult for my mom to bring me to school because we lived outside of the yellow bus, school bus busing zone. And it actually came that I missed so many days of school that the school ended up expanding the yellow busing zone so that I would be able to go. So because of these hardships, I could have let them drag me down. I could have let them do something to stop me, but instead, it led me to a path where I wanted to become an agent of change. So I decided to join the community advisory group with the City of Regina, and that's where I helped develop public and active transportation initiatives for the Energy and Sustainability Framework, which Janet introduced briefly. And on the second page, even though it's really small, you can see that my name is near the bottom, and it's something that I did with the permaculture group. So that's where we do all the jam at the school. So lots of different ways to contribute there. But what more people know me as is my role in Regina Energy Transition, which I am the co-chair of. It's with this group that I decided and realized that I wasn't alone in my transportation barriers, that there were new immigrants from my role in the Open Door Society who were struggling to get to school. There were other youths who wanted to partake in extracurricular activities, but if they did so, they would have to walk 40 minutes home because they couldn't afford $2.75 for the bus. And it's a sad reality that's in our city. So I decided to join this group, and I led a 200-person lobbying campaign for fare free transit for youth under 18. And we were very successful in aiming to get fare free transit or free public transit for youth under the age of 13. And it's something that makes me so proud because it gives 36,000 children access to school, their communities, and just the ability to have different services and to volunteer. So that kind of leads to Better Bus Youth, and that's the name of the group that was made of 50 students who just wanted to make a change. And Better Bus's youth mission is to create accessible communities where every child can succeed. By supporting the City of Regina in embracing fare-free transit for youth under the age of 18 through a pilot project. So taking that initial idea of fare-free transit for youth under 13 and see if we can expand it to high school kids. Because another thing that we realized is that now that children under 13 had transportation, then came the age that they needed to go to high school. And high schools tend to be much farther away than elementary schools. I know for me it would be a 2-hour walk to get to my high school, and there's been some days that I had to make that walk. So that's why we were seeing if we could do something about that. And it was interesting to see what this group was able to do. We were able to have events, and we had a music event not too long ago in December where we invited youth musicians to come to play. We had an event in the Regina Public Library for Earth Day. We were able to set up booths at both the Saskatchewan Waste Reduction event as well as the community gathering on sustainability to talk about the importance of fare-free transit and the economy. We made a community petition that got 1,550 signatures for fare-free transit, which was very nice to see. And, of course, we did quite a few social media events and videos to kind of spread the need for fare-free transit and why it's important, so community education. But, of course, it did come with its fair share of challenges. As many of you know, Regina is more of a conservative city if we compare it to other parts of Canada. And some of the challenges was pushback from council because it wasn't a line item in the budget to go and talk about fare-free transit. And it wasn't something that was viable at the time because of inflation. And because of that, we weren't able to achieve fare-free transit for all youth under the age of 18. So the expansion because of inflation. But we were able to achieve a whole bunch of other things. And those are the successes. And one of the main parts is youth empowerment, community partnerships, and the support of the arts. So we were able to rally 100 youths, 12 community organizations, and 1,500 community member support to spark increased municipal and school board dialogues and fare-free transit. Now, if you look on the top photo, that's where Janet met me at the Great Green Wall presentation, where we have two youths who are... We're talking about the importance of fare-free transit, but also being involved in your community and taking care of the earth. If you look at the small photo on the left side, there's a young girl playing a guitar. Her name is Jacqueline Riviera, and because we were able to set up events, she had an ability to go and play her music, which is something she wants to do as a career, but it's hard to find opportunities as a youth to go and play for a wider audience. So that was something we found very positive that way. We also had Madri Igota. She's the bottom photo of someone holding a microphone. And she's a youth who came from Nigeria 3 years ago and someone who struggled to find transportation. But by setting up this group and creating a platform, she was able to share what was important to her, what her needs are, and to be able to get that out to other people, but also develop herself. And she felt confident enough to go to city council and start asking city councilors to go and help her get better transportation for youth in her community. And of course, we were also able to make it into the news. And that was something that was quite special that we were able to do that. And a youth named Kim Colodi Watt was able to go and speak about the transportation challenges she faced, especially since her family is more low income, and how she wants to make a difference in her community. So being able to give youth a platform that they're able to show their power, the ability to get other community partnerships, like with the Regina Open Door Society, that they jumped on this message was a good idea, Regina Waste Reduction, the SCIC, so Saskatchewan Council for International Change, all these groups rallied around this message was something that was very positive to see. And now it's something that both the municipal government and the school boards are considering as a potential option of doing a pilot program in the future. So that's currently a line item that they're discussing in June at their liaison meeting. So that's a lot of ways that was really cool. And if this will let me hit the next slide button, yay, it does. I can also talk about other things that we can do as a community, and that's the power of artwork. So this is at the Regina Public Library. It's up now if you want to see. And this is a whole bunch of community artwork that youth did for Earth Day. And it was something that was very powerful to see because, again, this came from me having an idea of like, man, we should have more community artwork. So how do we go and do that? I just asked the Regina Public Library, hey, do you got a free wall where you can put some community artwork? And this was a year ago, and they said, oh, yeah, we could probably arrange that. And it took some discussing on how that would work. But once we got the go-ahead from them that we would have a time that we can show community artwork, I reached out to a community group, so Better Beth Youth, Regina Energy Transition, and Fridays for Future, and they all made artwork. I also reached out to different classrooms and teachers around the city. So if you look at the top left photo of the cubes, those are climate cues for worry and hope. So on the left side of the cube, it has all the fears of children who are in the Grant Road Grade 7 classroom of what climate change could do. So like forest fires, flooding, the loss of biodiversity, deforestation. But on the other side of the cube, it has what they're hoping to see in the future, like cleaner forests, healthier air, the ability to spend time with loved ones and friends, all the things that matters in their life. And they actually did this project as part of a one-month-long course on what is climate change and how can we take sustainable action. So that led from one idea of, hey, how can we make a difference? Then on the other side, it is actually from a grade 12 Catholic Studies class. I reached out to them saying, hey, would you want to make artwork? And they ended up taking the idea of sustainability and flipping it on how does sustainability intertwine with our religion and our faith. So kind of like today's first reading, they talked a lot about the web of life, how we're all a part of it, but also the Holy Spirit and how can God come to us in multiple ways, but particularly through nature. And that there's power when we're able to make art, there's power in the community activities that we are able to do, and there's power when we're able to share it with the world. And if I can, I'd like to draw attention to the middle artwork on the middle row. You can see a person in a forest. And that one was done by an Indigenous youth artist. She's a very shy girl, hasn't apparently talked all year in that class. But this was the first time she talked, saying, I want to do this project, and I want to share my artwork. And she made an artwork about who is God. So you can see that the figure there is God, and God is there with opening and welcome arms. It's neither man or female. It's neither black or white. But it's there as a welcoming force in all of nature and all around them as someone who is guiding us through our life as a welcoming hand and to hold our hand both in life and as we walk through the valley of death. So that was something that was very powerful to see how when we take one action as an individual to go and put art in a wall, it can lead other people to grow out their shells, to say what they believe in, and to feel confident sharing their talents with the world. So that was something that was quite positive. The other piece is the power of community. So since I was able to put myself out there and to take that initiative, suddenly other people wanted me to go and share that message with other people. So on the left side, you can see a picture of me with educating youth in engineering and science. And I ended up speaking for a panel to 100 youths. Yeah, for International Women's Day. And how when we take action and social action, it often combines with science, so climate science, but also technology on how we get the message out there. So it was very nice that I was able to share that message with so many young girls, and actually one girl afterwards came up to me and said, you inspire me. And I never had that message before, but to have someone come and say that, it was really a resounding moment. And then on the bottom photo, it's actually an artwork that's currently up in the Mackenzie Art Gallery. I was able to make a piece on how the world around us does shape our identity and who we are to be, and that we can either focus on all the despair, the clouds, the unknowns that are in our world, or we can kind of look up and look at the guidance of the moon or God, however you see it, to find how you're going to walk through this life and what change you want to make. So having that ability to make community connections and to share and to find power, that's something that's very beautiful. So I just wanted to almost end off with some key takeaways, is that we can create messages of optimism in the face of negativity. I know that when we talk about the future of our world, it's often faced with a sense of depression and anxiety and uncertainty of what is the world going to be and what's it going to turn into. But we can uplift youth and we can uplift ourselves to show that we have a place in climate action and politics beyond things like Model UN, that we can make resounding change. And more than anything, we can springboard our developments and youth's development and build in a community and economy around a renewable future. And particularly, I'd like to draw attention again to Shell. She is the artist who made that artwork that you see of her getting ready to ride the bus. She loves art. She wants to do art as a career, but she never thought that was a possibility. She was also an immigrant who came from the Philippines. And part of the reason why she left was because of climate change, that she was facing floods that put her to water up to her knees. So she didn't know how she could express what she was feeling and the circumstances that she faced and her family faced. But through things like art projects and getting involved, and even when you, like as me, I invited her as a friend, oh, come speak at this event, share your story, other people want to hear you, but that ended up putting her in the newspaper. It helped her to create opportunities. It gave her a platform to be able to speak about her experiences, to make artwork of what she's doing. And more than anything, she's been able to make multiple commissions for her artwork the more that's been getting out there. And she's actually won a scholarship for her artwork so that she continued to pursue her education for it. So that kind of goes to show how when we take action, even as one individual, and when we bring other people on board to join us, it creates wealth in our community, and it can create change. So I think a good place to end off is how you can make change. And I kind of broke it down into 6 steps that made it work out for me. And the first one is to let go of your limiting beliefs. Because we live in a world where everyone likes to tell us who and what we can be. I know for me, they told me, oh, you're too young, you're uneducated, you're too girly, and you don't have the right face to do anything meaningful in climate advocacy or in politics. And I could have listened to everything that they said, but I didn't. And do you see the wealth that it brought to me and to our community? So when we have the confidence to create our visions and to start to put them into action, we can make beautiful change. The second one I always say is seek out a mentor. I know there's a lot of people in this room who probably have ideas on what things they want to do, and they're ready to do it, but we don't know where to start. And I think a really good place to go is to find someone who has experience in the field and start talking to them and being like a shadow. So I did that with the City of Regina, shadowing different people there. And I also found a mentor at the David Suzuki Foundation and asked him, hey, I want to do these changes. Can you please mentor me? Because I have no idea where to begin. And by making those changes, I ended up following a woman named Yvette Crane. She lives in our community for a very long time. She's in BC now with her grandkids. But she was the one who was able to help me set up my first event, to teach me the paperwork behind it, to help me read and write scripts, to go and reach out to media. And through the skills that I was able to learn with her, I was able to repeat it and go and share that with more youth who's like, hey, I want to do the same thing. So again, building from that community love. And also more than anything, I always think it's good to learn and see with 2 eyes. So 1 eye of what you see, but the other eye of what the community needs. Or perhaps 1 eye of our focus, as many of us are settlers, or the other one as an indigenous point of view. And by seeking different worldviews, seeing where things stand and where we can find a point where we can work together and build, that's a very powerful thing that we're able to do, because we create a world that works for more people, and it helps to create that unity and harmony in our world. The third thing is get involved. It doesn't have to be in the biggest capacity. Perhaps you're helping out at your church, or you're volunteering, or you're helping one kid learn math. By making those changes and getting involved, it helps you to gain the capacity and the knowledge to go and carry out your vision, but it also helps the other groups that you're in to kind of have the momentum behind them to continue going. Because when you see a new face that's willing to come and to show up, to go and put their time and effort towards it, it's truly empowering, and that's how you build a stronger community. The fourth most beautiful lesson I learned is to learn and to fail. See, the goal is not to succeed, but to fail better each time. I know, like, at least for me, there's like a lot of pressure of like, oh, everything you do has to be like perfect on the first time. It's not. Nope. It was messy. The first event I went to, we planned it to be outside in winter time, and the day ended up being minus 30, and we were like, oh no, this isn't going to work. So we ended up having to move everything, redirect everyone up. Nope, we're going to go inside this building. It's the YWCA. We're going to go in the basement there and have like our little press conference there, because having it outside in minus 30 weather wasn't a great idea. But we learned from that. And even though it may not have been perfect and a lot of people got lost, at least we were able to get some people to come out. We were able to learn, next time we're not going to send an event in winter outside. And it also created a lot of giggles and laughs. So that laughter was medicine. Now, the fifth thing I say is to ask. Take the initiative to ask for help, for money, networking, and more. Because I know we have these ideas, we're getting involved, but sometimes it's hard to take the next step and start asking people for help to do the things that we want. I know everything for me began with asking the city councilors with a poem of, hey, can you put more money towards climate action and sustainability and to protect our environment and towards mental health supports? And by making that first ask, actually it was through a slam poem. So I wrote some poetry, which was probably something different for the day. But by doing that action, that's what led me to get on the community advisory group. That's what led me to get the confidence to go to Regina Energy Transition and to start leading that group. And it gave me the confidence going forward that I can ask. And even if I don't perfectly get my ask because they didn't put more money towards environmental sustainability or protection, it at least helped me lose the fear of doing nothing. Because I think that's worse when you have all these desires and you don't know how to do it. So even by doing something is more powerful than doing nothing. And besides that, I know I've asked the David Suzuki Foundation, long before I worked there, for money. So it's like, hey, I want to hold an event. Is there any funding money that I can use? And sometimes it goes, no, there's nothing. Other times you find out, actually, yeah, there is. And that's actually what happened with me. And I ended up finding a $10,000 budget so that we could hold events in the community and also support youth and their artists and to create murals and different ideas. And, of course, keep building your networks of the people that you're in to take the opportunity to learn from them and just to continue to connect with people, because people should always be at the heart. I know we have all these ideas, but we always want to center it on the people, around the earth, around the environment and the plants. So when we keep that focus in mind and we continue to ask around with that genuineness and an integrity in our focus, then we can make the changes that we want to see and to have them to turn out in a good way. And I think the sixth piece, which is always the most important, is celebrate the wins, no matter how small they are. Because I know for me, if change isn't linear, that's the main thing I learned. That change doesn't go in a straight line where you get exactly what you want. But if you learn to have gratitude for the moments of the wins, the moments of, oh, this person joined this group, this person gave the courage to speak, this person feels comfortable sharing this art, this person got a scholarship because of the work that they were able to do, or this person now has three more friends that they didn't have before, or, hey, maybe we got some of the action we want, or, wow, people are stopping in the library asking about this artwork, or, hey, the Spokes Festival asked us to go and put some of our artwork there and to go and talk about it. Having those little successes, those people asking, and having gratitude for those moments, that's the most important thing, because it stops us from getting bitter. it stops us from getting depressed, and it stops us from getting anxious about what's going to come. So always having that gratitude in mind is one of the most beautiful things, and I think that's central to all the faiths around the world. So with all that being said, that's kind of the end of my homily presentation piece. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Sophia. I had lots of thoughts going through my mind, but I just wanted to share three of them. The first one was just the power of one and what one person can do. And the second one was, I think it's gone from my mind. Oh, I know. The second one was, wow. As long as there are people like Sophia around, this old world's going to be okay. And then the third one was, I have to get to the library and see that art show.
Second floor,
okay. And how long is it there for?
Till June 9th.
June 9th, okay. Great. We are getting close to the end of the service, so I'll just take a couple of time for a couple of questions, and then Sophia can stay a bit later and talk if others have questions. So is there anyone that had any questions?
I'd just like to say thank you so much for inviting Sophia. And Sophia, thank you so much for taking time in a busy grade 12 schedule to come and speak with us. That was marvelous, just really inspiring. And you've touched on so many things that will be valuable to us as we move towards our June 3rd strategic planning event for the church. It really, what a step up. Building steps are important. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane. That's very helpful. Thank you for that. I just also like to mention that it's not like just me. All of you can be the Sophia's motivator, coordinator, and inspirer. Everyone has that ability. It's simply a matter of finding what your passion is and to start tapping and honing into it. And I think many of you guys have been if you have children. I know there's a way there. If you ever coached, if you mentored, if you taught someone else, you've already started to do it. It's just a matter of what exactly you want to do with that spirit and energy, because we all have that power.